Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Our next conversation is a really critical one, I believe. We know South Africans are in a cost of living crisis. I don't think it is, a sticker shock for me to use that term, and I don't think it's an exaggeration for me to say so. Whether it be the increases of prices coming from the tariff requests that Eskom is making of NERSA, the petrol price that, as much as we've had some relief over the past 5 months and the like, is coming off very, very high bases, or indeed our food that we have to buy on a regular basis. And the Competition Commission seems to be quite aware of that, highlighting that retailers do not seem to be cutting food prices fast enough. And this seems to be almost a global problem, whether it be the concern about shrinkflation and rising food costs that between COVID-19, the incursion from Russia into Ukraine, there's always some driving force that pushes prices up, and then they tend to be sticky downward. I'm joined this evening by Principal Economist at the Competition Commission, Khali Ranenyeni, to help us understand a little bit more their concern about food prices not coming down fast enough. Welcome to Kaya Biz. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much, Rufile.
All right, so talk to us. The Essential Food Price Monitoring Report is one that that the Competition Commission runs. Just tell us, take us a little bit into the how it functions.
Yes, so the Essential Food Price Monitoring Report, what we call the EFPM, is a report that we started just on the onset of COVID. During that time, you recall that there was a lot of outcry on essential products, of which their prices were very high. So we had masks and garlic and all of those other products, and retailers were excessively pricing those products. So as part of the monitoring of some essential products, we then started this essential food monitoring, and we monitor prices across the value chain of certain food markets. So we look at how much commodities cost at farm level, how much the producers or the processors buy that for from the farm, and how much then the retailer buys from the producer, and essentially then it translates to how much you and I buy on the shelf. So that's essentially what we do. And we look at a number of products in our basket. So we look at eggs following the avian flu outbreak last year. We look at cooking oil, we look at chicken pieces, and we look at brown bread and tin fish.
And in particular, I mean, I definitely want to get into, if you don't mind, each of those sort of trends that you're seeing and why the retail spread of that is so important.
Okay, we can get into each of those. But I think what is important is to understand that the basket that we are tracking is actually quite limited to the total essential basket.
Okay,
so we only track in 5 to 6 products, yeah? But what we have observed, which is very important, is that the rate of increase, which is inflation, which is what we hear now, everyone saying, oh, inflation is coming down, we're getting some relief. We are concerned about that because as much as inflation is coming down, the levels of prices are not coming down.
Yeah.
So essentially what is happening is you've got something that costs 100 rand, and if inflation is 4% and not 10%, it's still increasing, it's just increasing at a lower rate.
Mm.
But what we expect to see is actually that when your cost pressures are easing up, the level of food prices might also go down. So it shouldn't be about inflation that we're so fixated upon. It should be the levels of food prices.
Correct.
That should be coming down. And that's really the concern that we have at the moment. And we've observed that there's a very high risk of food security in South Africa. We did some analysis on a basket of goods that the economic, Economic Justice Group tracks.
Correct.
And what we see there is if you just put that and you compare it to the minimum wage rate and just look at the rate of increase for both, they are not increasing at the same rate.
Absolutely.
And what is happening is there is a big disparity between the rate of change of the minimum wage rate and the rate of change of the food basket. So essentially, people are now earning much more than they need to buy food. Well, we've not added transport costs. We've not added any other costs, medication that families must now consume and all of that stuff. So there's really a serious food insecurity issue in
absolutely.
South Africa.
I mean, I think one of the things that always stands out when we look at the Peter Maritzburg Economic Justice and Dignity Household Affordability Index is that that basket, which is a very basic basket that they bring together, tends to be often in line with, if not higher, than minimum wage. And that's for a whole household.
It's actually higher.
Correct. It tracks. And the concern there, of course, being, as you say, that's before other essential costs, roof overhead, transportation, school, and the like, clothing has even been taken into account.
Yeah.
So coming back to...
And you say what the problem is, Rufilo. The problem is that with the food basket that we are tracking, what we are then observing is when costs come down, so 6 months or so, the conversation was around, there's so much load shedding, therefore the prices are much higher. Our rent has depreciated, therefore our prices are much higher. Fuel prices are high, therefore prices are much higher. But in the last 6 months, we've seen easing of all of those
correct.
Cost items. But we're not seeing any reaction, or much reaction rather, from the stakeholders, processors and retailers. Now the question is why?
So, correct. So I'm coming back to some of your findings in the report. For example, as you say, farm gate prices for wheat and the producer price of brown bread did increase, fair enough. However, there's a steep decline in the average producer price of cooking oil that hasn't been passed on.
So what we're observing is different actors are acting differently, if you know what I mean. So if you look at bread, wheat prices came down in the last 6 months, but processors did not respond to that at all. Then you had retailers absorb because they didn't pass on that increase to consumers. So at that point on the bread value chain, you had almost processors making a bigger margin than they would, and retailers absorbing some of those price increases from the processors. But if you look at cooking oil, it then becomes the opposite. Mm. With cooking oil, you then have producer prices that went down, but retailers are not passing down those price decreases
correct.
To consumers. So we observe different tendencies from the actors for different goods. But I think that the observation is the same, that the stakeholders are not passing down the savings to
correct.
Consumers when costs are now favorable at a quick rate. It's also about responding quickly,
correct.
You know, because often when costs go up, they are quick to respond, and that's what we call the rocket period. So if someone says, well, petrol price goes up, immediately you see all of us increasing our prices.
Mm.
But when that petrol price goes down, then there's this feather, like you said, no one really wants to decrease their price. Then they decrease their price 7-8 months later down the line. And that's the part we're not happy about, you know? The transmission needs to respond quickly.
So just if we can just focus on the frozen chicken in particular, as well as eggs, which have been a concern, particularly in the context of the avian flu, your concern is that retailers haven't really, well, they've kind of shielded consumers from increases in prices. But in what way has the chicken price, which obviously is a major staple for South Africans, kind of been affected in your analysis?
So we are seeing stability with chicken. We're seeing prices increasing steadily. So there's not much drama around chicken, but we think that's because the industry is still recovering from the avian flu. Even with eggs, we are seeing a narrowing of the spread, and retailers did play a big role on the egg value chain to kind of cushion the consumer. So not much is happening on the eggs. But we do see that it's much higher than what it was pre avian flu, and we are hoping that maybe in the next 6 months it will then settle down to its pre avian flu period.
Now, Khadi, just help me understand what the next step would be. So ordinarily, when the Competition Commission undertakes these vast investigations, and when a finding or an action is a finding is made or an action is demanded, it is directed at a particular business, a company. Whereas in this case, you're taking a look across the value chain of industry. How would you now be, or the Competition Commission, be able to effect change?
So there are two ways that we use this research, Rufile. First, it's almost an adversarial tool, right? So we are calling out to stakeholders to be transparent, to react quickly to both cost increases and cost savings, and hopefully to then go back to competitive pricing. So that's the first. The second, we're also asking for consumers to bring complaints to the commission so that we can then do what you just said, which is to investigate a particular business.
Correct.
So at this point, we need to now have brand X was at costing at this much, and it's now costing at that much, and Rufile has laid a complaint, and then we now go and investigate brand X per se. But this research is also used by the commission to also inform its investigative powers. So where the margins have been sustained for a long period, we do initiate the complaint ourselves.
Yes.
And that's what we are considering to do, particularly in the bread and cooking oil value chain.
Ah, I see. Okay, so they're the ones who must be on the lookout.
Yes.
Moral suasion doesn't work, does it, Curly?
More what, sorry?
Moral suasion doesn't work. Unfortunately, it one kind of, as you were saying, I don't know if you were saying you'd prefer not to be adversarial, but I imagine asking the corporations nicely is not really a winning strategy. And so they kind of need to be, they need to be more stick than carrot.
It actually works, Rufile. When we started this in 2019, we saw a lot of rocket and feather for each product.
Okay.
We were very concerned about most of the products we were tracking. In and around 2020, 2021, 2022, we saw a lot of narrowing of margins, which means actors were now responding to our research and to our call. And it's only recently that we are starting to see this rocket and feather again. So it could be that there could be explanations around it. We know there was a mid-summer drought. We know there was the winter that also brought a lot of damages to the crop. So there could be other explanations that can explain what we observe. But all we are saying is where costs are going down, we want to see that translate quickly to the retail price that consumers pay.
No, certainly. Are there any other sectors that are in your view? Obviously, this was the essential food monitoring report that you were discussing. But, you know, cost of living concerns are sort of widespread across industries for South Africans.
No, you're very right, Rufile. What we are going to do in the next edition is we are considering broadening our basket. So not only looking at the essential products that we do, because we now understand that the crisis is larger than the basket. And other products are also affected. So you'll see, for example, with our report, we speak about, in this case, we were talking about other role players like traders. There's a big conversation around the influence or the impact of what speculation is doing in these commodity markets. And globally, it has been found that these traders, not only are they big and consolidated, but they actually speculate a lot and are causing high food prices. So we've tried to see if that is the case in South Africa. So we are deepening our understanding on exactly what other factors of the crisis can we look at and how can the commission contribute to making these markets more sustainable and competitive.
Fair. I mean, it is a difficult one insofar as even that which we produce is priced on a global market.
Exactly, that's the problem.
Yeah. All right, well, we appreciate the work of the Competition Commission and thank you very much for giving us some insights into this. We do hope that the industry is quickly responsive to this report and doesn't need and, you know, hopefully is incentivized to do something about these margins as opposed to needing some kind of a stick. But to your point, just highlighting to consumers, if they are seeing persistently high margins in particular brands, they should bring that to the Competition Commission in order to take to take direct action.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, Rufila.
Thank you. Khali Ranenyeni is Principal Economist at the Competition Commission.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.